soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings and Happy New Year. Well, I'm sure you can tell by the sound of my voice that I am displaying the symptoms of allergies. Now, that is a perfect opportunity for everyone listening to get to work and know the truth where this appearance is appearing. And no, I've never claimed to be fully and completely Christ-realized. But I do claim the truth that practicing these principles has given me, well, it has reworked and remade my entire being. And I'd say about 90% of the time I'm free from any of these appearances. So, but this time it found lodgment because I was busy and didn't have time to meditate. And now you can help. All right, with that out of the way, I hope that everyone has had a wonder-filled Christmas. I hope that you endeavored to put into practice, as our friend Saint Nicholas did, knowing the truth about those with whom you came in contact, uplifting them, lifting up the eye in their midst, recognizing the Christ in their midst. And if you did do that, then you've obviously discovered that it was you that received the greatest gift. Now we are facing a new year. And many of us may have questions about this new year. Will it be better than the last one? Will it be the same? Will we continue to struggle with difficulties that never seem to get any better? Will we have problems with our finances, our material sense of supply? Will we continue to show problems in our relationships or our material sense of companionship? And will we have problems in our bodies or our material sense of life? And if any of us, well, most of us, I'm sure, have read by now Joel's statement that if there is no change in consciousness, there will be no change in your life out here. Next year will be exactly like this year, and the following year will be the same, and the following year the same, until we leave this plane of existence and discover that we haven't changed. We're still in the same state of consciousness. And so, we will have the opportunity there to begin practicing these principles. Or in the vernacular of today, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So, it is you and I individually that determine what kind of year we're going to have this year, 2008. We determine that by what we entertain in our consciousness. What we are involved in doing is coming out of a material sense of existence into a spiritual sense of existence. God is spirit, and you and I are made of spirit. We are spiritual. The totality of us is spiritual, made out of spirit, which is the only substance that is the image and likeness of God. But we haven't fully attained. And so part of the time we're living out from a material sense of existence, and part of the time we are living out from a spiritual sense of existence. Let us see if we cannot make 2008 the year in which we make the transition from material sense to spiritual sense, so that we can live as the image and likeness of our Father. Now, as you look out at your life, as you look at your body, your physical body, is this made of the substance of spirit? And if you say no, you are incorrect. God being omnipresent, only the spiritual substance of God is here. And so your body is itself spiritual substance, but it is appearing as material flesh. But you have no material body. This is a mental construct in the mind. You are living and moving in a spiritual body made out of spirit, which is eternal. And while you are moving in that, totally unaware of it, you are imagining that you are moving around in a material body that ages and dies and gets sick and has allergies and has headaches and has, any number of difficulties. And so our goal is to awaken out of that material sense which we are entertaining in the mind and come into the actual feel, the actual experience of our spiritual body, which is right here in our midst. What about our relationships here on earth? We may have a spouse or a partner. We may have children or grandchildren, parents, grandparents, friends, enemies. Our relationship with these people can be good or bad, just as a material sense of body can be good or bad. You might be feeling healthy and well today and sick and under the weather tomorrow. So our relationships with people can be good and friendly today and disagreeing and irritable tomorrow. You see, the material sense of existence, material sense of body, material sense of relationships, or material sense of supply can all be good or evil. And really, that's what determines whether it's a material sense of something or not. If it can be good or evil, in other words, if you can see it or hear it, it's a mental construct. It's a mental image. It's not made out of the substance of spirit. And it's certainly not eternal. That's your yardstick. Always. Is it eternal? Is it immortal? Well, no, it's not. No, a material sense of body is not eternal. It has a beginning. It has an end. And so if it's not eternal, it's not the reality of you. It's not your God-given gift, your God-given life. And so getting back to relationships, they can be good today, bad tomorrow, bad today and good tomorrow. Friendly today and mean and angry and an enemy tomorrow. And so if they have the capacity to be good or bad, they're not made out of spirit. They are not made out of spirit. They are not eternal. Are these relationships eternal? Are they? Is your relationship with your brother or sister or friend or spouse or partner, is this relationship eternal? You might say, well, yes. Yes, I'll see them again in the afterlife, or I'll see them again in another life. Will you? From everything I've learned, you leave your personality with the body. Otherwise, you would remember right now the personalities that you loved and that you hated in another existence, but you don't, because they're not eternal. The material sense of self is laid down when you leave here. You still have a sense of individuality, but not the personality. And some say that we move in bodies of light. So you don't have the same body, and you don't have the same human identity or human personality. It's gone. So it cannot be eternal. It had a beginning, it was formed here on earth, and it has an end, it remains here. But you, the real you, goes on. And so your yardstick is, no, these relationships are not eternal. And they're definitely not made out of spirit. But there is a spiritual presence, a spiritual omnipresence, which is appearing to you as divided up into all of these people. You're entertaining a material sense of this one divine presence. And so we must learn how to step out of a material sense of people into the spiritual sense of the presence that's really omnipresent. Now, if we are entertaining a material sense of supply, then we have supply that can be good today and gone tomorrow. Supply that can be flowing and then dry up. Supply that can be pouring in and then disappear. Which brings to mind the examples in the 1930s of the Great Depression, when people had millions and overnight they had nothing, and jumped off of buildings committing suicide because they felt that their supply was over. But what is our yardstick? Is it eternal? Is this money I'm getting from a job eternal? No, we know. In my own life, I have been laid off, fired, transferred. There's been a downturn in the business I was in, and I was let go. So that source of supply, that form of supply, is temporary. It's not made of spirit, and it's not eternal. And this, these gifts that come in from people that listen to these talks and are grateful, are these eternal? No, they're not. They have a beginning and they have an end. If I cease to make talks and I close up the website and I close down the list and I write no more letters, I guarantee you the gifts that come will stop. They will flow in a new and a different direction. And they should. So this, if looked at as a channel for income, is a material sense of supply. If this job is looked at as my income, it's a material sense of supply. If I have investments and I look at the dividends as a source of income, it's a material sense of supply. And all of it, any of it, can dry up. It can be flowing today and gone tomorrow. But there is a spiritual sense of supply. There's an eternal love which expresses itself as these gifts flowing from all over the universe. Love flowing omnipresently. There is a spiritual sense of supply that is eternal and is made out of the substance of spirit. And so we see we are making a transition from a material sense of life and body, a material sense of companionship and love, a material sense of supply, to the spiritual sense of existence. Now, where does that spiritual sense of existence exist? Where is omnipresence? Where is infinite abundance? Where is eternal life? I'll tell you a story. I thought about it earlier today when I was having a meditation. When I was 15 years old, I decided to run away from home. But I thought it through. It wasn't the spur of the moment thing. I got a job washing dishes in a restaurant. I saved up 2 weeks' worth of money, and I walked down a few doors to a travel agency. I was living in Pasadena, California. And I bought a one-way ticket to Canada. I was going to go up into Canada and live in the woods. I'd never been out of California. And here I was going to enter another country. And I did know one person who was 22 or 3. I considered him almost over the hill. Who had gone up there with his wife and child, and they were homesteading. They had a piece of property up there. But I didn't know where they were. I had this little sketched out map, and that's it. But I determined to go find them and to see if I could live in Canada. So I got on a plane, and I flew to Canada. Landed in Vancouver, got off, and really had no idea where to go. I knew this little town was called Seashelt. So I took a bus to the nearest bus station, And, of course, my mind was afraid, because my mind was showing me a material sense of existence. This could happen, that could happen. Now, this is 3 years before I ever picked up my first Infinite Way book. This is 3 years before I had any idea of spirituality. On that bus, there was a nice young girl there. She introduced herself. She asked me where I was going. I told her. She said, "Oh, here, let me help you." She showed me the way to get to where I was going, at the bus station. Well, I thanked her a lot. How nice. Besides, she was pretty. And I followed her directions, and I got to where I was going. Now I had another problem. It was 14 miles from where I was standing, which was a bay, 14 miles by water up to this forest where I was going. And I had in my pocket exactly $2.50. Well, that night I slept in a tractor. The next morning, it was closed in. There was a glass surrounding the cabin area, and I slept in there. The next morning, I walked down the street, thinking I had to go about 10 miles, and actually, two blocks later, I was standing at the water's edge. There was a fisherman there. He looked kind of mean. He had some teeth missing, and he had a wife. And they had this old, really old, beat-up fishing boat docked there. And you know, before I knew it, they were talking to me, and they weren't mean at all. They were nice. They invited me on board. The fisherman's wife gave me breakfast. And oh, God, it was good. That breakfast tasted good, let me tell you. I hadn't eaten in almost 24 hours. Well, they told me how to get to where I was going. They told me there was a water taxi that took supplies up there from time to time. And, in fact, as luck would have it, the water taxi was leaving that afternoon. Well, I hung around and played at the water's edge until the afternoon when the water taxi came. I mean, the man that operated the water taxi. He started to load supplies, and I asked him where he was going. He was going to Storm Bay, which is where I was headed. Well, how much would you charge to take me there? Now, of course, this is a boat that traveled 14 miles over the water to take supplies up to these people. I know it costs something to operate a boat. He said to me, "How much have you got?" I said, "Well, I have $2.50. He said, "Hop on board. It's exactly $2.50. Well, he was making that up, I realize now, but at the time I didn't see it. I didn't know it. I was 15. And so, the point of this story is, I left on an airplane from Los Angeles, California, never having been out of the state of California, and found my way on limited funds, almost without person scrip, unless you count $2.50 a scrip. I found my way from there to Storm Bay, a little tiny village of about 6 cabins on 2 sides of the bay, in the middle of the woods in Canada, about 150 miles above Vancouver. And on the way there, I met nice people. I ate meals, and my transportation was provided for. And all of this came from within my own consciousness. Because you see, We live and move and have our being in our consciousness, not in the mind. And my consciousness was out picturing as love, as supply, as companionship, and as life. Well, I made it up there, and I lived up there for about a month, but that's another story. The point is, where is omnipresence? It is your very own consciousness, appearing as loving people. Where is infinite abundance? It is your very own consciousness appearing as transportation and food and lodging. Where is eternal life? It is your very own consciousness which appears as your form. Now, we are making the transition from a material sense of existence to a spiritual sense of existence, in which we become beholders. We become simply an avenue of awareness as consciousness flows out and forms itself as our fulfillment. In order to do this, at some time we must set ourselves down and say, I don't want to play at this anymore. I really want to make this transition. And so I'm going to go for broke. I'm going to pay attention throughout my days and nights. And when I find myself entertaining a material sense of body, I'm going to remind myself, no, this is a mental image. There is one eternal life, and it forms itself without any asking. I wasn't praying when I went up there to Canada. I wasn't praying at all, and yet this thing was functioning. I just didn't know what this thing was. But this thing is God consciousness. It's mine, and it's yours. It was given to all of us. But it will not function unless we have these moments in which we invite it. And so if I find myself entertaining a material sense of body, I must pause for a moment and say no. No. Yes, I see you there. A mental image about a spiritual substance. But you can be good or evil. And you're certainly not eternal. And so therefore, you were not made. Invisible God consciousness forms itself eternally as my life, as all life. And when I catch myself entertaining a material sense of person, oh, well, I wonder why she said that. I should have, maybe if I told her this, or, you know, he's not going to like that when I say that. I must stop. I must catch myself. I must. No, this is a material sense of person. Stop that. And the presence says, yes, do this, and live. So I must stop myself. No. That's not eternal. That's not an eternal relationship. This is a mental image about an invisible omnipresence, everywhere presence. And my relationship with this presence is eternal. This presence appears to me in all those I meet because I sense it there. But it also flows through me to them. And it is love eternal. And so the only relationship I have is with infinite, invisible, omnipresence, love eternal. So now let me be still and omnipresence, you use me. You flow as me. I am simply an avenue of awareness, becoming aware of this presence flowing through me and flowing through you. And every time that I catch myself entertaining a material sense of supply, well, let me see now. Looks like I'm going to be about $200 short now this month, and let's see if I can cut a little bit over there, and if I don't spend that, let me see, maybe I can generate some income I need to stop. You see, nobody will practice these principles for me. God is not going to tap me on the forehead and say, ta-da, you are Christ. I must practice these principles in all of my affairs. I must make the transition from man whose breath is in his nostrils to man who has his being in the conscious awareness of the presence of Christ, or God's presence. I must make the transition from the conscious awareness of duality to the conscious awareness of omnipresence itself. And so when I entertain a material sense of supply, I have got to be the one that's standing there that says, no. No. This is a mental image, a material sense of infinite supply. This is not made out of spiritual substance. This had a beginning and will have an end, and I need to stop it. So, what is the truth? The truth is, this is a mental image and I need to drop it and not ask any God or even any person to help me with it. I don't need help with it. I need to step out of it. And so I need to pause and remember who I am. Right here is infinite God consciousness. And within that consciousness is infinite eternal spiritual substance, which forms itself as everything I could ever need, even without my asking. This is the meaning of, before they call, I will answer. This is the meaning of, thy grace is my sufficiency. This is the meaning of, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But there's a condition on it, and the condition is, you must pause. You must pause from entertaining a material sense of supply, and turn within and say, okay, infinite spiritual substance, form yourself. I am simply an avenue of awareness. I am beholding the miracles that you form as. And then we find that little girls show up and give us direction. Fisherman and his wife give you breakfast. A man owning a water taxi service gives you a ride. And you find lodging in a log cabin. You see, to go without purse or script means to go without a material sense of supply. To live and move and have your being in the conscious awareness of spiritual substance forming itself. Because spiritual substance is eternal. And so we have eternal life that lives itself where you are. And this is a conscious experience. We have eternal presence, eternal omnipresence, which surrounds you. And this is a conscious awareness. We have eternal spiritual substance that forms itself, end without end. And this is a conscious experience. We come out of the grave of a material sense of existence, and we come into the conscious awareness of omnipresence, eternal life, and infinite spiritual substance. We come into the actual seeing, sensing and knowing and watching and observing and beholding eternal, omnipresent, spiritual substance appearing as form. You see the transition? When you make that transition, more and more your way of living, you will experience, well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, which means where the conscious awareness of this is, there is freedom, love, joy, happiness, infinite supply, omnipresent love, eternal life. You see the transition? I'm sure you do. All right, now getting back to where we started. Thank you for your prayers, by the way. Let us move into the new year consciously deciding that, yes, if nothing changes, nothing changes. But we are going to make a great change. We are going to change our consciousness from a limited, personal, material sense of life to an unlimited, eternal, infinite, omnipresent sense of the isness of perfection. And we're going to do this together, and we're going to do this consciously. And we are not now going to be interested in a new year. We are going to be interested in a new self. If you must make a resolution, resolve within yourself that you're going to be done playing with this thing. That you're going to bend every effort toward leaving behind the man whose breath is in his nostrils, and stepping up into your glorious birthright of the man who experiences or the woman who experiences themselves as the living Christ, which means the conscious awareness of God's omnipresence realized right where you are. Let us come into a whole new sense of self, which then includes a whole new sense of life, a whole new sense of presence, and a whole new sense of supply. You can do this. Yes, at first you might forget more than you remember. So make it a resolution that you're going to try to remember more than you forget. If necessary, put a sticky note up on your wall. It might say just one word that nobody understands but you, such as pause. It might say two words, be still. I have one I'm looking at right now on my wall that says, a relaxed mind, a great calm. Because every time I see it, it reminds me, yes, my job is to behold this great spiritual being living itself, forming itself. It might be that you need to attend a tape group or have fellowship with those that are living the same way instead of going to the movies a lot or going out to eat or going to social gatherings. You might have to give some of that up. You might not, because this is an internal change. But if your hours are filled with so much activity that you can't pause, then you're going to have a harder time. It's going to take you longer than it would someone else. Now, of course, after you have this conscious awareness, you can go anywhere on earth, in heaven, or in hell, and you will not lose it. And so it requires a certain amount of self-honesty. Is there something getting in the way of me attaining this? Perhaps I better set it aside for a season. If necessary, make phone calls, post questions, write letters, in order that you might clarify in your mind how this is done, how this transition takes place. You see, we started by saying that God won't do this for us. God gave you perfect freedom, and so the choice is yours. Do you want to continue to live in 2008 the way you lived in 2007, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Or do you want to have a new life, a new self, a new year, a new eternity? I can talk and talk and talk, and you can read book after book. But you, in your minutes that make up your day, that make up your night, that make up your week, that make up your month and your year, you are the one that will determine whether or not you are making the transition from man of earth to Christ. We are determined. We are a unique part of humanity that has decided to prove the principles of Christ. We have decided to take the Master's statements and prove them.
We have decided to make the transition to come up out of the graves of a material sense, because the Master said those that live in material sense only are in the graves. But he also said there will come a time when you will come up out of the graves, and you will hear the calling, and you will be resurrected into that life which God made for you before the world was. This is that time. This is that place. And so my wish for you, all of you, every one of you, my deep, deep prayer for you, my inner knowing. Sometimes in the silence of the night, I know this about all of you, is that you will make not a new year, but a new self, an eternal, omnipresent, infinite, living, loving, blessing existence, which is God itself formed as you. This is the Word made flesh. This is your birthright. And so I wish you a happy new self and Godspeed as you come into your inheritance. Thank you, every one of you, for your help this year, and my love goes with you always.